This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the answer's staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Overdrive reminders of the past. I'm shook, scared to look, where the prodigy in half. All I wanted was my people to be proud of me and ask every once in a while, how you doing, for some follow through. Try to close the door on my emotions, but loneliness is not the same as solitude. Wish that I could talk to the younger me, to tell him that I'm proud and that he is allowed to express everything he's feeling underneath. The joy and the pain is part of the game, and you should have been protected, but part of me regrets pushing you
to the limit because you gotta be the best. Went from left for dead on the mausoleum floor to being celebrated on the Coliseum steps. You know, that's still one of my favorite verses of the year, moving up the list of like my favorite verses of all time. I figure for this series I continue it because yeah, it touches on some topics that have something to do with my trip to Cleveland. But whatever. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start the way I always do by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Like I said, this is going to be part two of the adventures in Cleveland. My whole adventure going to the 4C conference in Cleveland, Ohio. It was a interesting weekend, you know, to say the least. That's definitely an understatement. And we're going to get into that. But first, we got to do what we always do. We got to do the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. Not a whole lot to report. You know, me and Chef Elise did hang out last weekend. She hit me with the okie doke. We did our grocery shopping thing. And, you know, like my daughter's cheap. She's just like her dad. Like she's notoriously cheap. And every once in a while, like, I don't know, I guess she does something to try to, I don't know if it's to like get my favor or something like that. Like she wants to be like dad and wants to show that she cares about dad. So we're in the grocery store and we picking out cereal. That's her job when we go. And she normally gets the Captain Crunch with the crunch berries or whatever. And then she sees like that they have a Hill Country Fair, which is the generic store brand down here at HEB, and she's like, oh, they got a version of it that's cheaper. We should get the cheaper version. And I was like, okay, bet. I'm never gonna, you know, turn down that. But I'm like, are you sure? This is what you want? Are you sure you want? She's like, yeah, we're gonna go with the cheaper one. I'm like, facts. I love it. So we get that. And she has a bowl of it. I ask her, you know, how it is, whatever. And she's like, yeah, it's good. She gave me the thumbs up and everything. It tastes just like the regular one, Dad. Just gassing me up some more. And then I noticed for the rest of the weekend, my daughter will eat an entire box of cereal in a weekend. Like, she's very much like me. That's how I was when I was a kid. Cereal and milk kept me alive. It's probably the only nutrition I was getting because I was just such a picky eater. And I didn't think my daughter was a picky eater, but she definitely would just, she would choose cereal over anything 90% of the time. 99% of the time. It's way up there. Whatever. Pause. But, you know, she had the one bowl and she told me that, you know, it was good. And I noticed for the rest of the weekend, like, she ain't want no more cereal. I asked her what she want for breakfast the next morning. She was like, oh, can you make me an egg? And, you know, she's so good at what, like, women do. Like, I'm starting to notice that it's just inherent in y'all. Y'all know how to manipulate niggas, like, just from an early age. Like, she's so good at, like, gassing me up and letting me know, like, I'm the best. You know, I'm a great chef and I'm the best egg cooker. I got this little egg pan that I use to cook one egg at a time. And she wants to watch me do it. And I flip the egg and she's all oohing and on. And I mean, you know, it makes you feel good as a dad. So I ain't had no problem, you know, making her eggs for breakfast. And I gave her some fruit, but she didn't want no cereal. And, you know, lunch came around and, you know, I'm trying to find an easy way out on everything. I'm not trying to cook all the time, so I was like, cereal? She was like, no. You know, she ain't want cereal then, so we ended up getting something else. And next morning for breakfast, you know, she was like, yeah, I want cereal, But I don't think I want Captain Crunch. I want the Honey Nut Cheerios. Like that's what I'm eating because my cholesterol is a little high, and it's only so much exercise that I'm about to do. So I'm trying to eat the Cheerios to help out with my cholesterol. All right, so I give her the Cheerios or whatever because that's what she wanted. And you know, I was sitting in here and I ran out of Cheerios because she fucked up all my Cheerios that weekend. And I just reached up there and was like, let me check this box. You know, see if I want to try this generic, you know, Crunchberry or whatever as cereal. And that shit was damn near full. And it just dawned on me that she conned me the whole weekend. Like, she played it like, let's get the cheap brand. You know, like that was going to be, because she knew that was going to be cool with me. And then she ate it, realized she didn't like it, and just talked me out of her having to eat any more of it for the rest of the weekend. So, Chef Elise, you don't listen to this. And that's a good thing. I don't want you listening to this, at least not until you a lot older. But that box is going to be waiting for you when you get here this weekend. Ain't no picking out no cereal this weekend. You already got something from last weekend. It's going to be right here for you. Ain't no Honey Nut Cheerios, no nothing else in here. That's the only cereal available. And I'm out of eggs. So you're going to have to figure it out. But that's the fucking Chef Elise report. That's all I got for you this week.
Out of Pepe.
And proud to be, regardless of the bullshit she puts me through. But all right, so let's get back to the story. Adventures in Cleveland Part 2. So when we left off last time, and I apologize for making y'all wait an extra week, just life been lifing. I'm going to do a whole episode about work and, you know, what I'm going through and just what made me put a pause on things. I swear to God I was going to do an episode last week, and just like every day when I got home, just I was in no mood to try to be funny or interesting or none of that shit. So I ain't want to give y'all a half-ass episode, so I guess I gave you nothing. My bad. But we back. But when we left off, I had just got off the flight with Ashley Larry. I had made it to my hotel, and then, you know, and for whatever reason, got denied a key to the room in my name by some Russian dude at the front desk that was listening to a nigga he had never met in his life, had no association whatsoever with that hotel, parent company, not from the state, nothing. Just he told him, don't give me a key. I ain't gonna give you a key. And I had an audacity to tell you that the reason I'm not giving you a key is because this random nigga told me not to. But this is where we at, you know. It is what it is. I got to the room. I walk in. It's a borderline party going on. It's all cool. I sit down. I make my introductions. You know, like I said, it was dope because, you know, we are people who have never met in person before, but we've done so much content and so much work together, and we've talked so much that it really didn't feel like he was walking into a room full of strangers. You know, it felt like it was a bunch of people that went to high school together and we just ain't seen each other in a minute. Like, that's all it was. So it was dope. It was a dope experience on that level. But it was after midnight and I had a long fucking day and I was fucking tired. But anyway, we made the introductions and realized early on that, you know, I'm in the presence of, like, real smokers. Like, I used to smoke cigarettes. And if I got any knock on Obama, is that he banned flavored tobacco. I was a clove smoker, and so I swear to God, I wish I could get them joints back. If I could get a pack of clove cigarettes right now, like, change my life. I probably could have made it through the past week a little easier, but I couldn't, and I vape. And but yeah, man, it was weird to me because, like, I feel like I'm in here with, like, niggas, like, you know, people who question my blackness all the time. There's no question about whether these people are black. And, you know, pardon me with the N-word or whatever if that offends you, but it was a bunch of niggas. But I'm in there, and for all of the shit that niggas were, like, let slide and rules they'll break, these niggas was not smoking in the room or just allowing me to vape. I'm like, vaping ain't smoking, but niggas was like, nah, we not doing that. So we got to go outside for all these smoke breaks. Whatever. That's all right. We going outside. Before we even get out there, though, so it's me. Savagely Humble is dead. DC is dead. The homie CL is dead. CL starts going in on my polo shirt. Now, when I wear polo shirts, I button them to the top. They got buttons. I use them. I pay for the buttons. I'm going to use all the buttons. It's my fucking shirt. I can do what I want to. You know, I am the way I am. You know, deal with it. But for whatever reason, she couldn't let this go, that I buttoned my polo shirt all the way up to the top, and she didn't understand why I was buttoning all the way up to the top. I'm not the only nigga that does that. You know, this is just the way I dress. I don't like my chest out or nothing like that. I'm just not. I'm comfortable. Let me fucking be comfortable. Please. Anyway, but she wouldn't let the shit go. And so I spent the whole time on the way down to the parking lot, in the parking lot, during the smoke break. Like, she's trying to unbutton the top button on my shirt. And I'm dodging the shit. I'm doing like Matrix-like moves. I got to keep my head on the swivel. I don't know what angle she's coming from this time. It'd be mid-conversation. Be talking about something completely unrelated. And then just back out of nowhere. She's coming around the corner or coming around my shoulder or something. It was weird. It was mad uncomfortable. You know, I want my personal space. Give me my donut. I need my 3 feet, please. Like, it was weird. And, it, you know, and we in this, like, Me Too era, you know. And if the situation was switched, if I was trying to unbutton a woman's shirt, like, I don't even have to finish that. You already know, you know, what type of time that would have been on. So I haven't been in Cleveland for, you know, fucking an hour. And I'm already being assaulted, you know, and it's just, and this became a theme of the fucking weekend for me, but we'll get into that maybe on part three. That's not for today, but I'm not having a good time in Cleveland. So anyway, we're hanging out smoking. I'm vaping, you know, I do what I do. And, you know, and CL is like talking to all the white people coming in and out of the hotel. It's like, and she apparently had been doing this the entire time. I had just got there and she's already talking to like the night guard, the staff of the hotel, all these motherfuckers like she's known them for years. And I'm not usually racist. Like, I try to be very accepting and understanding, not understanding, like you got to understand people, but I do not like to get the attention of white folks that I don't know, especially when I'm out of town. Like, I don't know what the situation racially out there is. Like, I treat them like the police. Like, if the police ain't looking at me, I'm not going to give them a reason to look at me. I'm not walking down the street like, hey, good morning, officer. No, if you wasn't looking in this direction, I need you to stay looking in that direction, whatever. Like, I don't want your attention. But all these people, all these, like, niggas, for whatever reason, just filtered in their spirit that, like, have to talk to every white person that walk by. And this shit was just weird to me. And it just only, you know, kept getting weirder. Like, just weirder and weirder the whole weekend. The fact that they was just super friendly. We'd be having the most raunchiest, you know, hoodest conversation ever. A white person walk by and be like, hey, good morning. How's it going, man? Oh, man, get to it. I see you out there running, man. Get it. Like, oh, chill. Like, why is we talking to these people? They wasn't talking to us. Why are we talking to them? Like, I come from that, and this shit was crazy weird to me. But we out there, they talking to white people for no reason. Another theme of the weekend is that these niggas take like 8,000 smoke breaks, and this was the first one, and I'm already out there. My 41-year-old back is on fire. I just realized, it just dawned on me, I've been working from home for like 2+ years now. I don't really go nowhere, have to stand nowhere, have to walk nowhere for long periods of time. And now I've been walking around airports all day. And now they got me standing like in the middle of a parking lot with nothing to lean on or sit on or nothing. My back is going crazy. These niggas are not phased at all. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why am I in Cleveland? You know, like, quick side story, though, about the back shit. Like, this is what it reminded me of, because I did junior ROTC all 4 years of high school, right? And so probably by year 2, 3, I'm like squadron commander. And we used to have to do these things called yearly inspections or whatever, annual inspection. And it would be whatever the higher-ups or the military people from the bases around, they'd come to your school and you'd have to like show off your squadron. You have to be in formation. I mean, all of the like platoons or squads, whatever you want to call them. I don't know what they called in the different branches, but all the different, you know, you have all your different, I'm trying to remember what we called them in the Air Force. I don't remember. I'm going to say platoons, but I know that's like an Army thing. But everybody would be, you know, lined up, and, you know, I'd be in the front talking to the person. And you'd be either at parade rest for a certain amount of time or you'd be at attention for a certain amount of time. So you're standing straight up, you're still, you're looking forward, you got your military bearing, you ain't laughing. None of that good shit. And so we'd have to coach every year. We'd have to coach these kids, like, don't lock your knees. Don't lock your knees. Because if It makes you feel more comfortable to lock your knees because now, like, your muscles aren't holding you up. It's just like your bones is, like, locked in position to keep you standing straight up. But if you lock your knees, you cut off your circulation. And as much as you try to warn people and you tell them the horror stories of what you've seen from people locking their knees, it happens every year. I be standing up front. My back is to this whole, you know, squadron of cadets. And just one by one, you start hearing motherfuckers drop. And it's just, that would be the hardest part about, like, maintaining my military bearing. I was very serious about my shit. I'm a serious person now. I was a serious kid back then. And I'm in full dress uniform with the hat. My insignias all shine. My shoes shine. I'm feeling very official. And I'm standing up there trying to be official, and I'm just hearing bodies drop. In my head, that little hard rock joint was playing, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor. That's all I'm hearing is niggas just passing out, like, left and right. And you telling niggas to take deep knee bends and all that other shit. Like, don't lock your knees. And every year, just bodies hitting the floor behind me. It was crazy. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I'm standing there trying to make sure I don't lock my knees while I'll be out here for hours on one of these 8,000 smoke breaks that we took, over the course of a weekend. But, we out there, we standing under a tree, like, we surrounded by dog shit. Apparently, there was, like, a pit bull show or something at the hotel. So, I apologize, because I know when I told the story about, like, booking my hotel room, the horror story that was, I was saying, like, man, ain't no way you can tell me this hotel is sold out. It can't be that much shit going on in Cleveland. Like, it's fucking Cleveland. Like, that, you know, like, what is happening in Cleveland? But apparently it was a lot of shit happening. It was a couple of different conventions. Pit bulls was out there. But whatever. These brolic-ass dogs is walking around, like, shitting. Like, I dare you to say something, nigga. Like, look at me wrong and see what happens. There's trash cans overflowing with them little green bags of dog shit. Like, I'm standing next to dog shit in Cleveland. Nigga, I'm trying to figure out what I've done wrong in my life. I hold doors open for women. I help out old people. Like, I don't understand why God is doing this to me right now. But this is where the fuck I am. So I landed around midnight. By this point, between, you know, the smoke breaks, coming back up to the hotel room, chilling, going back downstairs, it's like 3 a.m. I've been watching niggas sip shots for hours. And that the alcoholic in me is going crazy. Like, I don't want to drink. I'm just irritated as fuck to watch somebody sip a shot. Like, drink it or don't. Like, pick one. Like, but you don't sip a shot. Take the shot or don't take the shot. But what the fuck is all this sipping going on? Like, I'm old, in pain, and angry for no fucking reason. And I'm in Cleveland. So I'm not feeling the best. But finally, you know, shit started winding down. You know, these niggas decided to take another smoke break. I'm like, nah, I'm skipping this one. I'm going to take a shower, you know, get myself ready for bed. You know, we got a big day tomorrow. It's the 4C conference, the conference for content creators of color. My man DC was there at the hotel with us, you know, partying, having this little reunion of niggas that never met before, whatever it was. But, I got this big day tomorrow. I've been planning for this. I went on Temu and, like, ordered a bunch of beads because I'm like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch beads randomly the way my nigga Rob be switching hats on the show and, like, just see if anybody catch on to the shit. I got some shoes that I hadn't worn because I ain't want to crease them before this thing. Like, I'm very much prepared for this show or prepared for this conference, looking forward to it. And I'm trying to get some rest. It's 3 a.m. The conference supposed to be at 11. So, you know, I'm trying to get some rest, get that day started. So, man, I'm on the pullout couch. I'm in what Cleveland calls a suite, which is like a king room with a pullout couch in it or whatever. So I'm on the pullout. You know, Raw got there first. You know, he claimed the bed. It's all good. I'm only going to be there like 30 hours top, so I ain't worried about it. I'm on the pullout. It's uncomfortable as fuck. I'm in Cleveland. I'm surrounded by dog shit. People trying to take my clothes off. Like, it's not a good night. But I'm going to shut it down, close my eyes, put on South Park or whatever, and I'm going to try to find a way to go to sleep. So I do get some sleep. Not much, because it's like 3 o'clock by the time I went to sleep. When I woke up, it's probably like 6:45 or whatever. The conference is at 11. I don't really want to be up that early, but like I said, and I'm going to keep saying, I'm in fucking Cleveland. I'm not comfortable. Like, I'm not comfortable. I'm on a pull-out couch, you know what I'm saying? So I like, all right, fuck it. It's 7 o'clock. I'm going to get up. You know, I'm like, you know, I was damn near sexually assaulted the night before. So in my head, there's no way I'm going to be asleep with while these niggas is up. I need to be up before them and prepared. Don't nobody need to be moving around me or in the room or nothing while I'm in my PJs, you know, feeling vulnerable or whatever. So I gotta get up. I gotta be ready to move when these niggas is ready to move. Pause, whatever. So I'm chilling. I got the shoes that I saved just for the trip. I got my bag with my gear in it. I get up. I decide I'm sharing a room with my man Raw. He ex-military. I don't know if he an early riser, if he a neat freak or whatever. So I'm like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get my shower out the way, you know, get there and make sure the bathroom is clear. So, you know, none of that shit is in the way. We ain't got to have that conversation. I'm going to get this pull-up couch put away, all that good shit. I'm going to get dressed and be ready to go. So whenever, you know, people is ready to make moves, I'm ready to make moves. So at this point, like, it's probably like 9 o'clock. You know, I got everything prepared. I'm ready to go. And then I hear this nigga from the other room. I hear him on the phone. So I'm like, all right, this nigga's awake. So, you know, I guess the day could finally get started. I expected him to be up earlier than that, but yeah, no judgment. It is what it is. So I'm sitting on the couch. I'm probably watching Cartoon Network because that's what I do. I don't watch live action shit. I watch animated damn near everything. So this nigga comes out the room, sleepy as shit, wiping his eyes, all that good stuff. And he started asking me if I done talked to DC, one of the organizers of the conference. So I'm like, nah, what's up? You know, and he looking at me mad confused because he ain't really sure if he actually did speak to the dude. You know, I'm telling him, you know, I heard you on the phone. So he's like, man, was it a dream, whatever. Now he started blaming me for his confusion because he's like, man, I had this weird ass conversation and I come out here and you fully dressed. So I don't know, like, what the fuck does me being fully dressed have to do with anything? But these niggas mad at me because I'm dressed. I'm like, whatever. So now he's telling me that dude called him to tell him that the conference was canceled. You know, and he's still trying to figure out if this was a dream or if it actually happened. So I go on Facebook. I see a post saying the same thing. So I'm like, yo, you know, I guess apparently the thing was canceled. And so now we're trying to, you know, figure out what the day is going to be. And of course, you know, par for the course, this nigga can't get it together without another smoke break. So we got to go back downstairs, go outside, figure out, you know, I've been in the room long enough. I'll go down there and vape a little bit. See Cleveland during the daytime, because all I've seen is nighttime Cleveland. I wasn't impressed. Nothing changed. But we went outside. We out there. Savage decides to come down and join us, stand under the smoking tree with us. I'm fully dressed. Raw is still in whatever he went to sleep in. She come down wearing like some athletic boxer shorts with all the thigh meat out, with some Yeezys on and a thick ass hoodie. Shit, none of it went together. I didn't understand any of it. It's a weird ass morning. It's a weird ass morning. Shit only gets weirder. Like, the conference is canceled. I'm in Cleveland. It's pit bulls walking by, looking at us like, you know, ain't these the niggas you warned me about? And, you know, the owner's trying to pull a leash, like, nah, don't embarrass me right now, like that. We don't talk about that in public. Like, that's what's going on around me this morning. And in the midst of all of that, you know how you got the one friend, it's always one friend that's just way too turnt in situations that don't, like, that don't call for it. So CL, or Courtland, as she was known the whole weekend, she was up before I was. And now she's pulling back into the hotel as we standing outside smoking. And it was crazy because I could tell just from the way she turned the corner, like just from the way she pulled the car into the parking lot, that she was too happy for that early in the morning with all the shit that was going on. So she pulls up, happy as shit for no reason, just irritatingly happy. It's like, muff, just unnecessarily joyful. Just too much. Too much for that folks. She's on 10 and she's excited about some fucking short neck coronas or something that she found that she's somehow never seen before. And again, the alcoholic in me is just like, the fuck is going on? These people sipping shots. They never seen a little beer. Like, what the hell is happening? She's excited about this shit. So she's talking about that. It's sounding like the teacher from the Peanuts cartoon. Just wah, 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 wah. That's all I'm hearing. I'm like, my back is still on fire from last night. I don't understand why I'm in Cleveland. Like, I'm not having a good morning. You know, she hands me a Red Bull or something like that. So now I'm sitting there, you know, doing deep knee bends, sipping my Red Bull, you know, trying to figure out where I fucked up in life to be here. And I'm not listening to a goddamn thing she's saying, but she's still talking. And out of nowhere, like, I snapped too, because Ross said something out of pocket to her. I don't know what it was he said. But with no hesitation, she, like, reaches into her bra, pulls out a tangerine, and throws it at him. Just out of fucking nowhere. Like, and this is the question that I have for ladies. Like, and I need an honest answer to this. Like, how do y'all make the decision that the bra is, like, the appropriate place, the appropriate pocket for shit? Like, how do y'all make that decision that's where I'm gonna store this? Like, what's the hierarchy in, like, storage options for y'all when you just out and about? Is it, like, you know, purse, pocket, titties, titties, pocket, purse? Like, what comes first? Like, when you holding something, how do you be like, yeah, you know where this should go? This should go under my titty. Like, that, how do you, I just need to understand the thought process that goes into that. Because it was as if when she thought to herself, I need something to throw, it was like there was no figuring out where is something that I need to throw. It was like, oh, under my titty, like, bam, like, just real easy, just real quick. This is a real question for me. I'm very curious. I have questions. But anyway, she reaches under her bra. And this is the fucked up part about it that I found out after she threw it, is that this tangerine, orange, clementine, whatever it was, it had been under there for, like, it was under there when she was trying to take my fucking shirt off. Like, they got this at a Chipotle in the airport as they was flying in. So this motherfucker has been under there for, like I said, like 12 hours. She slept with the shit under there. Like, I don't understand this, women. Like, how this work? Do you forget that it's under there? Like, do you not? Like, if there's a crumb on me, I feel it. Like, I don't understand how you can have a tangerine close to your chest, under your titty for that long and just be like, oh, yeah. Oh shit, I do got a tangerine and I need to throw something, and it, you know, shit worked out. Like, I don't get it. But she threw the damn tangerine at him, and this nigga just was like, oh, don't throw your titty fruit at me. And just, you know, that was the moment where it all came together for me. And I'm like, you know what? That would be the dope ass title for an episode. Don't throw your titty fruit at me. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. And that's exactly what I fucking done. So that's, I don't know, what else happened after that? I don't even fucking know. We standing out there. Raw is having, like, weird. Again, they talking to random white people with pit bulls. And Raw is having this weird ass conversation with some Russian dude that invented a pit bull. He's telling us how he invented his dog. He raised the grandma and the grandpa and whatever. I don't know. Just a bunch of great grandparents, everything. I find it weird to be like, I invented a dog. But, you know, if you can discover a country with people in it, I guess you can invent dogs, too. Like, I guess that's how that works. I'm sure some breeders out there that's like, no, you don't understand. Fuck out of here. You didn't invent an animal. But anyway, he having some conversation with this dude about cheesesteaks. And he keep pausing the dude. Like, he hitting him with the pause because dude was saying pause-worthy stuff about how much meat he likes in his cheesecake. He like all the meat. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want more meat than that. It's not enough meat. Like, it just... He's going in and bro keep pausing him, and he has no idea what the fuck is going on. So he just, you know, he just keeps going. Just whenever bro would pause him, I think to him it was like, you must not have heard what I said, so let me repeat it. And we was just in a cycle of that. Like, you gonna repeat how much meat he likes? Bro gonna pause him, so he gonna tell him again in more detail how much meat he wants. And this was my first morning in Cleveland. Pit bulls, cheesesteaks, titty fruit. It was weird. And the sad part about it is it only got weirder from there. But that's going to be on part 3. Anyway, that's my episode for today. sorry for keeping y'all waiting so long. Sorry for leaving you on a cliffhanger. This is a cliffhanger as well, but I do expect to have part three out next week. I expect to. Shit happens, and we roll with the punches over here, so it is what it is. But with that being said, appreciate y'all for hanging out with me. Please check out the merch store. I'm going to have some All on the Table merch in the merch store, you know, for the happy hour and repping the homie Raw. So please check that out as well. I do apologize, but the drop shipping company that I work with has discontinued some of their Champion products. So some of the hoodies and things that I definitely like that I think are higher quality, really nice. I can't offer those as more. I'm looking for an alternative product to be able to put in there to replace them. But until that time comes, I guess I just won't have as many hoodies and sweatshirts and stuff in the store. So I know, you know, we're going to be looking to get ready for fall and winter. And hopefully by then, you know, I'll have some shit to replace it. But for right now, I don't. You still can get 20% off your entire order with coupon code Algorithm. So go to whatistws.com/store. Check it out. Like I said, the All on the Table merch will be in there very, very soon. And then hopefully I have the hoodies and things set up in time for hoodie season. But with that being said, until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And please, please, please don't ever throw your titty fruit at me. I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.